It's 25 minutes to 11 alive, 90.5 Spotlight with Jeev and Darren.
Well, I'm very delighted to introduce our next guest, friend and leader in our community and the wider community of Sydney. And it's none other than our very good friend on 90.5 Spotlight, and that is Dr. Michelle Byrne, the Mayor of the Hillshire Council. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for spending some time with Darren and myself on Spotlight. It never ceases to amaze, and we're talking about this morning, and I say this for all mayors, I just not particularly you, but I am really referring to you, the immense amount of work that you undertake on a daily basis, a weekly basis, and a yearly basis, because our community in which we live is a reflection of the quality of our leaders. And I've got to congratulate you in these very challenging times that you and your council have been under with regards to so many things. And I want to talk about a whole range of things that you're doing despite the impact of COVID. And, you know, from the GM through all your staff, you really try to satisfy really clear goals to make the lives better for people who live in our shire. And on behalf of 90.5, Mayor, we thank you very, very much.
No, thank you. It's a great community. Very lucky to live in the hills.
Yeah, I think you're right. I agree with you. But I also agree that that's reciprocal in terms of why we have what we have. I mean, you look at, you know, the impact of, say, just the train stations. What a great day that was for you to be on that initial train that took place and was able to bring about that change. Walk us through that. What was that like?
It was incredible because, obviously, you know, the Hills is a community that's been crying out for a rail line for as long as I can remember. Even as a teenager, I can remember council advocating and lobbying for a rail to better connect us in the hills, but also better connect us to other parts of Sydney as well. And, you know, if you remember those early days in the hills where you'd have to catch a bus to Para and then the train, it would take forever. And if you're driving to the city, well, that was a nightmare. You kind of tried to avoid that. And so for decades, you know, rails were promised by successive governments. And eventually a government came along and built it. So to stand on the first train and to ride the first metro from Tallawong to Chatswood was obviously a very historic moment to be there, but also a really joyful moment to see that all those years of advocating had paid off and finally we had a rail system of our own. And obviously it's changing life out here in the hills. You know, you get across the hills a lot easier now and get to other parts of Sydney. And it's going to get better as the connections through the city happen. I think that opens 2024, I think, and then eventually it'll connect into the second airport as well.
I agree 100%. I mean, most people know, Mayor, that I live at DY. What's fantastic, I jump on a bus from DY, I go to Chatswood, and within 25 to 30 minutes, I'm having a coffee or a cup of tea with my friends in the hills. And it's such a pleasant drive. There's no drama, there's no hassle, I'm not worrying about things. And equally, on the return back to DY, it's a pleasant trip. So I share with you the excitement and the continued excitement. I know Darren does too.
I sure do, and it's going to be great when you can catch a train right through without changing at Chatswood when Sydney Metro's finished and into Barangaroo and Pitt Street and straight into Central. Now, a question, and this is a bit forward thinking, but as the hills grows and as surrounding areas like Parramatta, Bankstown and the like grow, do you believe that we'll need some sort of better transport in that corridor north-south, Baulkham Hills through to Parramatta and beyond?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We could use it right now. You know, when we look at our road blockages, definitely Windsor Road between Baulkham Hills and Parramatta is certainly a bottleneck for us, especially as the population grows. And there's a lot of regional traffic now passing through the Baulkham Hills Town Centre as well, which is adding to the gridlock. But 10% of our population works down in Parramatta anyway. So it would make sense to have some sort of better connection straight down into Parramatta and vice versa. It'd be great for...
Yeah, you're talking about light rail.
Access to, yeah, light rail.
Light rail, heavy rail. What do you think would be best? Yeah.
I think light rail would work, potentially.
It's kind of like bringing back the old tram that there was to Castle Hill in days gone by.
I was just thinking about that tram this morning. you know, they had it right, didn't they, back in the 30s?
They did. And then it was all torn up for the motor vehicle, and now we've lost out that corridor. Hopefully we can bring it back. And I totally, support you with that one as well, someone living and breathing in Parramatta. Now, things in and around the hills that are taking place at the moment, there's lots of activity, lots of development, and I know that the council's just done their budget for the coming year, and one main item that is taking place right now is Waves Pool. Can you give us an update on how that's progressing?
Yeah, certainly can. So at the moment, the pool it's basically being completely demolished, which has happened, and it's being rebuilt essentially from scratch. So the old ways have gotten to the end of its useful life. It was obviously built back in the 60s. It was starting to have a lot of issues in terms of filtration and things like that. It wasn't meeting today's health standards. But it also wasn't meeting the needs of our community today either. It just wasn't enough lane space for people to swim. And obviously with a growing population and more people going to be accessing that pool, because at the moment it's the only pool that we actually own, the decision was made to basically start from scratch and to put in extra pools and put in extra facilities that would meet the needs of our residents today, but also our future residents. So it's a really exciting project. And at the moment, I believe they're doing they've completely demolished the pools, completely demolished all the buildings. If you go past there, it's pretty much a dust bowl at the moment. They've started digging in the new 50-metre pool, which will be a FINA standard Olympic pool with 10 lanes instead of 8. And I think they believe they're putting in pylons to begin the underground car park and the building that will go on top of the car park. So it's pretty exciting to watch it all happen and all come about.
You're on Alive 90.5 with Jim and Darren on Spotlight. It's really interesting. I love what you guys are doing, Madam Mayor. Let's just have a look at it from this point of view. And one can always find criticism or issues with anything that one does and so on. But I need to applaud you and the council. The decision you made to do that is for an asset that is going to last 50 years. I think our listeners need to understand that those decisions are taken very seriously, and they're ones which have a longevity with them. And so they require a lot of thinking, a lot of dialogue and a lot of discussion, and I applaud you for doing that, particularly in the context of Waves and what it will do for our community going forward. I do, I really do.
It's a massive project. No, it's not a cheap undertaking. It's about a $55 million exercise. So you definitely want to make sure you get it right.
Yes.
And make sure that it's going to meet the needs of residents going forward. But you are right. It is. It's a pool that's going to be there for 50 years.
And I
want to start to put it that way.
And we're going to come back after a little song and hear more. I want to know where the roses are going, what we're doing with those, because that's a beautiful part of that Roxburgh Park. So you can tell us about that. We've got our wonderful Mayor, Dr. Michelle Byrne, on the line, and we'll be back in a minute.
Alive 90.5.
It's 12 minutes to 11 Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim Darren.
Very delighted to have on the line in our program today Dr. Michelle Byrne, the Mayor of the Hillshire Council. And just for our listeners to know, our Mayor was a popular elected Mayor for the first time with 64% approximately of the primary votes. I just say that, and that's reflected in the continual support that our Shire gives you, and I just say that publicly with the great work that I see that's being done by you and your Council. So again, congratulations. Now, Mayor, just before the break, I wanted to know what's happened with the roses, because I've walked around there many times and I just get so at ease with those beautiful roses. What's happening with those around the Waves Pool?
Great question. That's the question I get asked most often when it comes to the Waves upgrade, is what's happening to the rose garden. Obviously, we all love the rose garden. You love the rose garden. I love the rose garden. Residents love the rose garden. It's a very special place and it's iconic to the hills. So obviously we love the rose garden. We want to keep the rose garden. So the rose garden will remain. Obviously there has been a small impact from the redevelopment of the pool. So what we've done down in the rose garden is we've put in some new garden beds. You'll see that when you walk through there. Some of the roses had to be relocated because of the overflow from the pool. And a lot of the roses that we had to move also went to Copley House. So we didn't get rid of any of the roses. We just replanted them the best we could. And we're also spending $300,000 over the next financial year on the rose garden itself. We want to make it better. So we want to rebuild the rotunda, fix the edging and the stairs and some of the garden beds, and really make it even more special than what it is. And I think it's 2022, the rose garden will be 50 years old. So we want to make sure that it's really fantastic and beautiful for the 50-year celebrations as well. So we're getting in there and doing the best we can to really, really fix it up and to really give it the love that it actually really deserves. And I know the residents, I really appreciate it when I drop my kids off to preschool, because they go to preschool near there. The seniors group stops me to have a chat about the rose gardens. They tell me about how important it is to them and how they just love it so much. So we obviously want to look after it for our residents, for our future residents too.
Madam Mayor, congratulations, because what you've just said to us is it is a priority within the whole framework and package of what you're doing there, and it has history and it has relevance. So well done.
It does.
So, yeah, sure, there's going to be some impact, but it's on the minor side, and I think that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, we've tried to mitigate impact as much as possible on the rose garden. There's a little pond down there in the rose garden that has a family of ducks living in it as well. The ducks are very important to the residents down there too.
Absolutely they are. Madam Mayor, let me ask you, what's happening with the library fines and amnesty? I think that's a very novel and a really important concept in the sense of what you're achieving or trying to develop there. It's well done.
Oh, absolutely. No, thank you. I mean, there's obviously a lot of people we need within our community, especially this time of year and with COVID as well. So the library amnesty is about helping those in need, but it's also a chance to get all our library books back at the same time. So we're asking anyone who has a library fine to come in, and if they bring in a can of beans or a can of something or a non-perishable to donate to Anglicare, then we will waive their library fines.
That's fantastic.
We're also asking residents, you know, you can donate. You don't have to have a library fine to come along to our libraries and to donate something to Anglicare. So that runs till the end of December, I'm pretty sure.
So, Madam Mayor, if I've got $100 of library fine, are they all waived with just one can, or is it five cans for that?
No, we're kind people. We waive it for one can.
Fabulous.
More generous than that, Darren. it's great for us, because obviously we're helping those in need in our community, but we're also helping people who have, you know, accrued fines who might not be able to pay back their fines. But we're also getting our library stock back as well. So, you know, quite often we get books that have been overdue for years come back through the library amnesty at Christmas time.
Madam Mayor, we're nearly running out of time, and I just want to again applaud you and thank you for the work you do and the council. It's a team effort, as you've often said, with regards to your councillors and also management and staff. COVID has played a very big influence on events that you've had to look at and reflect upon over the last 8 to 9 months. Everyone loves Christmas. There's no question about that, that in some capacity, most people, I should say, love Christmas and what it stands for and what it does for people. You've had to make some pretty significant decisions with regards to Christmas in the hills, from what I can gather. Tell us about that, and why did that come about, and so on.
So Christmas in the Hills is, you know, one of my favourite events of the year. It's a well-loved community event. It really brings the community together to celebrate Christmas. But it's also a opportunity to, again, fundraise and to help local charities with their work, with assisting those in need within our community. And obviously this year, because of COVID, it can't run like it normally would. You know, normally we'd be up at the farm and we'd have, you know, the choir and the orchestra and the petting farm and the rides and the food trucks.
7,000 to 10,000 people.
All those fun things. We just can't do it this year. So this year, Christmas in the Hills will be online. I know that the community is working very hard to make it a really professional carols that people can view from the comfort of their own home.
Oh, that's good.
And again, it'll still be a fundraiser. People can jump online and donate to the three charities as well. So I certainly hope the community will get behind it and, you know, have a look at it, watch it, and enjoy it with your friends and family, and hopefully next year we'll be able to go back to Christmas in the Hills the way that we like doing it.
Well, but, I applaud you again.
We've got to do something, and it's Christmas, and I think everyone needs something to look forward to, a bit of positivity and hope for the new year.
I applaud you for that decision, in the sense that I know that you're instrumental with a number of other key people in the commencement of the Christmas in the Hills. 7,000 to 10,000 people find that a wonderful event, and the sponsors and so on. So decisions need to be made, but I love the innovation with regards to trying to still raise funds and provide joy for many, many people in our shire. Madam Mayor, thank you for being with us. We always find it a breath of fresh air, the energy that you and your councillors under your leadership bring to the people of the Hills is outstanding, and we wish you and all the people in the Hills a Merry Christmas, and we'll be talking a little bit more
thank
about
you.
That. Have a wonderful day, and thanks for joining us on Spotlight.
No worries. Look forward to speaking to you soon.